Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, happy New Year's, happy Festivus for the rest of us, for everybody celebrating. Big appreciation, our friends at Royal Farms. Got a whole bunch of sponsors that are going to be with us for yet another year in 2024. We're very excited about that. Cole Roofing's one of them, even though I have like a fun Dundalk mug that was gifted to me last year that I started to drink out of my old Roll Arena on it from North Point Boulevard, right down by Costas, where we're going to be doing some crab cakes in the coming days. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour is back out on the road. We're at Fadley's on Wednesday, and then I almost say we're shutting it down in January. We're slowing it down in January, and we're going to be celebrating our 25th anniversary with Stories of Glory brought to you by Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter. All that stuff's been coming out there. But more than that, we have holiday scratch-offs, and I'm holding the purple one up because this is the lucky purple one. What's their record now, Luke? What's the official Ravens record? 12-3.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. 12-3. The O snaps are out. Maryland Lottery, our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. And Jiffy Lube Multicare, which reminds me, I should get the orange one out because my little orange light is on in my car. Pick my wife up at the airport from her holiday. She's like, hey, the light's on. I'm like, I got to get the Jiffy Lube. I'll get over there after Christmas. The ham. I've got cookies here. I look like a cocaine dealer because these Greek cookies splatter confection sugar all over me. I'm having a celebration here, Luke. I mean, the game on Monday night, it's Christmas night, family got back, my son's here, we're having some ham, doing what we do, and then it was like 7:45. We're kind of monitoring that Eagles game a little bit, but not. We're having like a real holiday. I know the NFL doesn't really want us to gather and have a real holiday and turn them off, but I decided turning the Eagles and Giants off would be okay. And I spent some, dare I say, quality time with my wife and my son and his wife, right? So just a couple, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, it's 7:50. Get the eggnog, bye, see, I gotta go work. I'm like, I gotta go. I'm not doing dishes, it's 7:50, I gotta go. And then I go back into, and I know Chad Steele have a heart, the press box of my mind where I watch the first 300 football games and, trying to figure out who these 49ers guys are. I'll tell you this, the Ravens, for all of the joy we'll give them and all of the good vibes this week leading up to the Miami game, 49ers game got off to like a rocky start. There's a safety. Things went wrong for it. Wasn't, we'll look at it and say, yeah, they kicked their ass in the anti-Mike Florio way, of course. But it wasn't easy. And I guess it's indicative of what's going to happen in the playoffs, because we saw really bad things happen to Patrick Mahomes over the weekend and he never recovered, right? I mean, it's weird how that piles up. And when you think back to that Chargers game we don't talk about in January, or that Bills game we don't talk much about in January, or that Titans game that we never talk about in January, except every time I see Derrick Henry wearing a Oilers jersey, it makes me vomit a little in my mouth. But the Ravens fought through some adversity on Christmas night, and I didn't want it to be nervous. I guess that's my point. I had a cup of coffee. I had some cookies. And I'm like, this is going to be like a nerve-wracking kind of game. And it wound up to like not be that way at all. And they're not all going to feel that way.
Yeah, I mean, no question about it. I mean, think about it. I mean, that game started out in such an odd fashion. I mean, you and I haven't talked about the minutiae of the game quite as much just because of what the final score ended up being. But Lamar runs backwards 20 yards, trips over the referee, and it's a safety, and then San Francisco kicks a field goal. I mean, they're at a long drive that Kyle Hamilton comes away with an interception in the end zone. I mean, it was 5-0 late in the first quarter. It could have been worse than that. I mean, they could have been down two scores for the first time all year. I mean,
well, Lamar was getting pressured and sacked, and he, at one point he threw the ball away as his knee was going down. Like, they were getting after it pretty good, and you're starting to think, O-line, running game, road game, Christmas night, this ain't easy. And, my first quarter tweets were, this ain't going to be easy. I mean, the 49ers, I don't want to say I wouldn't want to see them again, because Brock Purdy, I think you'd see a different version of him in Las Vegas if it gets there. He will have won two games and will have beaten the Eagles and will have beaten the Cowboys and or the somebody to get there. So I think if you see them in the Super Bowl, I'd look back at the first quarter and say that was a good fight for a while.
The first half, I mean, it was 16-12 at halftime. It was a heck of a football game. I think the overwhelming sentiment at that point was, wow, we get 30 more minutes of this, and obviously the Ravens just completely steamrolled them in the third quarter, but this was a really good football game in the first half. And look, is Brock Pur if Brock Purdy faces the Ravens again in the Super Bowl, is he going to throw four picks? Probably not. Do I think that means he's going to throw four touchdowns either? No.
But if he doesn't throw four picks,
That's
we're
going to be
talking
a
about a
field goal
different game
game.
in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Sure. And that's the thing. I mean, when you take the ball away to that degree, it doesn't suddenly mean you're going to do that every single week. In the same way that if you have a game where you sack a quarterback nine times, I mean, you don't do that for 17 games, right? I mean, it's difficult to do. The other team tries too. And in the case of San Francisco, or talking about any of these teams, and look, and I know I've said it, I'm skeptical of the Dolphins in the Super Bowl contender conversation, but they're a legitimate playoff team. I mean, if they beat the Ravens on Sunday, we're talking about them being the number one seed. So I'm not saying I'm not taking them seriously at all. The point is, teams are going to be good. I mean, this is an AFC field that the AFC South aside, and if CJ Stroud can come back and be healthy and right, the Texans are I think the best team in that division. We'll see how it plays out. I mean, Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars are a mess, absolute mess at this point in time. Indianapolis, I'm not a big believer in them. That was a bad loss to the Falcons. But beyond that, I mean, you look at the Dolphins, you look at the Bills, you look at the Browns, Kansas City, for as much as everyone's going to bury them because they looked awful on Christmas Day, they're still the Chiefs. It's still Patrick Mahomes. It's still Andy Reid. They've got 3 weeks to figure this thing out. And they're going to have to go on the road for the first time in the Mahomes era. So that's going to be interesting. But point is, you still have to go out there and do the job if you're the Ravens. And yeah, if you're talking about the 49ers or any team, I think what's such a credit to the Ravens, and I would even throw Lamar, because everyone's talking about the MVP conversation. This isn't the statistical, incredible 2019 season that Lamar had, where he had 36 touchdowns and he was sixth in the league in rushing. This isn't that statistically. But what has separated Lamar from the other MVP candidates, talking Purdy? Everyone was talking about Dak Prescott 2 weeks ago being the MVP favorite. Go through the list of all those guys. Lamar has played really good football and at times great football. But what he's also offered, and it's another reason why the Ravens are such a serious Super Bowl contender, is even when he hasn't been at his best this season, it's still been a very high floor what he has given you. And especially since he's cut out the fumbles that we saw early in the season, he's very clean with the football. We've talked about it the last couple of weeks now. The safety aside, that play aside, which was just a weird play, we've seen Lamar be so composed even when the pressure. Even when pass protection hasn't been great, he stayed so calm. And obviously, when you can operate like that, and then, oh, yeah, you can take off and scramble for 30 yards, as we saw him do on Monday night, which, was just another crazy Lamar Jackson exclusive kind of play that he'll give you. But when you have that, I mean, it's a formula that really should, and I emphasize should, because this is the same conversation they're having in Buffalo with Josh Allen, same conversation they're going to have with Tua in Miami. Everyone that's not Patrick Mahomes, or I guess Matthew Stafford, or Joe Flacco, I guess, which, that one's a little bit different because it was so long ago. But all these teams, all these quarterbacks, they're all facing that same question. Can you do it in January? Right? I mean, that's where it is. And that's where the Ravens, where Lamar, where all of them, even John Harbaugh and Justin Tucker, who haven't won a Super Bowl in over a decade. I mean, they're all going to answer that question. But the way that they win football games and the way that they can win in different ways, that translates really well, especially when you're going to have, if you take care of business Sunday, and that's a big if, they got to do it. If you do it, you have an easier path. You don't have to deal with that wild card round that, your
And then we're going to
probability.
sit around here and bitch about rust versus rest, and
Yeah,
how's
I mean,
Lamar going to play when he hasn't played in 3 weeks, and who do we play against Pittsburgh? And John, history there would say he played nobody, right? Like, so it'll be the it'll be the Snoop show. Nobody will
who
play
knows?
against Pittsburgh, right? I mean, like,
Well,
literally.
I mean, it's not college football where you dress 90 guys, so you're still gonna have to play guys. But and here's the trickle down effect.
Their
And I'll
10 best players won't play.
you would think so, right? And part of that, and it'll be funny because I will even say this. I know from talking to people within the organization, there was definitely a sentiment post the post playoff loss to the Titans 4 years ago that they would approach that regular season finale differently. But here's the catch. It's fine to say, all right, Lamar and the starters play a couple series, because you don't want to be 3 weeks removed from live game action. But who were some of the first guys that you would say would benefit from rest? Ronnie Stanley and Morgan Moses, right? I mean, they would be near the top of the list in terms of not putting them in harm's way and giving them a chance to heal up. So if you're going to do that, you don't want to put Lamar Jackson out there then. But apologies to Patrick McCary and Daniel Faalele and whoever
Oh,
else.
I don't have Smith playing. I don't have Queen playing. I don't have
But I'm
Hamilton playing.
no,
I don't
I
have
hear you,
Hartley playing.
but I'm
I
talking
don't
about
have
your quarterback.
Madubuike playing.
I know, but I'm talking about the franchise right now. I'm talking about the quarterback. The one guy that you lose where you say this is over. I mean, it's just that
Well,
simple.
you don't put him on the field.
Well, but that was my point. The sentiment that, the argument to be made on that whole thing, and we're dwelling too much on this with still, 2 weeks to go.
Well, we get
But
next week to talk about that, right? If they
sure,
win, right?
if they
If they
win,
lose to
sure.
Miami, all of it is sunshine and rainbows and how good these cookies tasted and how strong my coffee was this morning from Roy. All that goes away in five. I
Yeah.
mean, five. They lose to
Well,
Miami 33-24, and then they got to go play Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh wins, and not wins here, but wins this week, and
yeah.
they have something to play for.
Well, that scenario was way more interesting if the Browns win, right? I mean, then you're
Sure,
talking
sure.
you have to win to win the division still. If they win out and the Ravens lose out, we're having a really different conversation.
Well, we're gonna know about the Browns by Thursday night, right?
Yeah. I mean, and to be clear, do I think that scenario is going to happen? No, I don't. But they've got to go out and handle their business. And to your point, no, I don't think it's all gone. But certainly, if they lose to Miami, then we're kind of talking about them how we have for the last month, which is Super Bowl contender, but concerns about A, B, and C. What happens here? What happens with this game? Then we're talking about those things again. Whereas this is a very simple scenario where go out and beat the Dolphins. And like I said, it can be 3 or it can be 41-40. You beat them, number one seed, home field locked up. No, you're not playing wild card weekend. No, you can rest some guys in week 18 against the Steelers, and you don't have to worry about the potential weirdness that is Baltimore Pittsburgh anytime they play. You have that scenario. But yeah, I mean, you have to go do it. But I mean, they're in a position now where they can go do it. And you expect them to go do it. They should go do it. They should beat Miami on Sunday. I mean, if they were playing in Miami, okay. That'd be a little bit of a different conversation, but they're there for them. But they have to go do it. And it's not a it's never a slam dunk, especially when you're talking about a quality team, which I don't think the Dolphins are an elite Super Bowl contender, but they're certainly a quality team. I'm not going to be completely dismissive of them. So you've got to go out and do it. But I mean, it's all sitting right there for them. But what's just been so impressive for me, and just to come back to what I was talking about Lamar a little bit with the MVP, but just the Ravens in general. I mean, you see all these other teams around the league do like what happened to Kansas City on Monday. What's happened to the Eagles with this 3-game losing streak they had late in the season, and then kind of a really ugly second half against the Giants in a game it looked like they were going to run away, and then they didn't. The 49ers on Monday night. I mean, all these teams that at some point or another during the season, the Bills, who looked, great the first month of the season and then kind of just stumbled for the better part of 6 weeks. And now they're looking pretty darn good again. I mean, all these different teams, the Ravens have not had that stretch where it's gotten that ugly. Or you say, wow, well, like that's, yeah, they've lost 3 games, but they've lost 3 games. I mean, that's it. You're not expecting them to go undefeated. So they have managed to really minimize their valleys, right? I mean, they lost 2 games early in the season.
They've had
Remember,
very good health, dude. I don't, I mean,
but they
like in
lost.
a general
Remember,
sense.
but remember those 2 losses. I mean, that first month of the season, they were banged up, right? I mean, Marlon Humphrey didn't play against Indy. I mean, that Cincinnati game in week 2 was almost not miraculous. That would be way too harsh. I mean, because Joe Burrow was not right at that point, but they had a lot of starters missing in the first month of the season. I mean, not these
A lot of
long
money,
term
a lot of big
injuries,
players.
but guys that were out. But yeah, I mean, look, it hasn't been perfect, and we'll see if Mark Andrews We'll see if Mark Andrews can come back for the AFC Championship or the Super Bowl if they get that far, right? I mean, we, you know, there's some of that, but overall, their health picture is better than a lot of teams out there. And that's a big part of this, too. In 2019, they were very healthy, especially on the offensive side of the football. And we saw what kind of team they were. So it's setting
up.
They
got to go play the Bills or they got to go play Miami this week without Kyle Hamilton. They'll look like a different football team. Defensively, yeah, I'm talking
sure.
about. Because defensively, other than Humphrey, and somehow they band-aided that with Darby and Stevens and you know, even the interceptions early in the year with Geno Stone, right? Like, they covered that nicely, but, like, Roquan, Patrick Queen, Matabike, these guys have been stout. I mean, Marcus Williams, not so much, in and out, whatever, but just in a general sense, their defense has been healthier than most years, most teams ever. Like, that we're sitting here and still counting these guys. And as I pointed out a couple of times, as the sack numbers go up for Clowney and Van Noy, you start to see the value of having those kinds of players around and the decision to bring them in. But all that being said, you don't really know what you're going to get out of Kyle Van Noy Christmas week when he's actually played the whole season. It's different seeing Joe Flacco look spry. You know what I mean? Yeah. It looks like September for him at this point. And it doesn't look that way for Brock Purdy, I would say, and getting pushed around the other night when you play this many football games. But defensively, they looked fresh. And I don't know that it's going to look that way at breakfast on Sunday when you've flown all night from San Francisco and you played an NFL game. Mm-hmm. And as we pointed out, really kind of a hard-fought first half in a lot of ways. I mean, and Stanley in and out. McCary got hit in the head. The temp was an issue. Hamilton's clearly an issue. So they have a little bit of that going on. But this is as big as it gets, right, this Miami game, just in a general sense, for them, for us, given that you lose to them. Now you're playing for your ass. If Cleveland wins on Thursday night, you're playing for the division. I mean, God forbid the Steelers, something happens, and you wind up a wild card team after all of this. Like, after you win on Christmas night, and you blah, 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 we're the best team and all that. Like, it is always tenuous. And if there's a team you don't want coming in right now, maybe it's Buffalo, maybe it's Kansas City because they're the big bad wolf. But, boy, this Miami team's going to test the defense.
Yeah, sure. And again, I know people are listening to me saying, oh, you're hating on the Dolphins. But the talent is, speaks for itself on the offensive side of the ball. There's no question about
that. And they have
that.
Their injury issues, too, as far as getting their weapons on the field.
And I was just going to say, I mean, they've had some attrition. I mean, every team's hurt to some degree or another, right? I mean, you hope it's not as extreme as it's been for the Ravens the last couple years, beginning with your quarterback not being out there in December, you know, which is a non-starter as it comes to having any talk of going to a Super Bowl. But yeah, they're certainly going to be tested, but they absolutely have to take care of business here. And you know that you don't want to be in a position where suddenly week 18 looks way different. And the Steelers, who, you know, I don't even want to say God bless them because it's the Steelers, but you know, nice win for them. You know, Mason Rudolph was a, you know, cute little story, Rudolph on Christmas, and, you know, Jake Browning. It was actually great. My pastor actually brought that up in his Sunday sermon, talking about that. He's a big Pittsburgh fan. Don't hold
by
it
way,
against him. He's a great
Cincinnati
man.
PU Cincinnati, too, by the way.
Yeah, that, well, that's what I was just going to say. Jake Browning turned back into a pumpkin and all that. But, you know, the last thing you want is to lose to the Dolphins, and the Browns win on Thursday night, should win Thursday night. And then you're talking about a week 18 scenario that you don't want to be in a position where even the Steelers, who have looked so mediocre, so frankly bad for the last month, Saturday or Sunday aside, but you know, it's funny because this Monday night game, Ravens 49ers, was hyped as the game of the year. First half lived up to that. Ravens completely crushed them in the third quarter, but this Sunday game against Miami is the game that's much more important for the Ravens as it pertains to the playoffs and seeding and all that. Yeah, you know, the Monday night was bragging rights, right? That was a power rankings game. It was 1-2, and the Ravens won, and they're number one now, right? They're the best team in the NFL, but that doesn't guarantee you the number one seed in the AFC.
Who
if you go out
the
and
power
lose to
rankings?
Miami.
Is that on Peter King? Should I blame him for that if I have him on? I think he was the
I
first
don't.
one that do weekly power rank 25 years ago, you know, power
Or
rankings, you
would that
know.
be his mentor, Dr. Z? I mean, I don't
Did
know. I
Dr.
mean,
Z
that's
do that?
I don't
Maybe
know.
he did.
I mean,
I'm
they've
gonna
been around.
ask Peter because I'm gonna find
You
out.
should.
Because if there's one thing that we all follow that none of us should ever follow, it's the power rankings, right?
Oh, it's that thing that everyone says they don't care about, but we all pay attention. Like, and you
It's like
know it.
quarterback rating. I don't even know what the hell it is, but we all like pay attention to it when it's perfect or 148.6. We're like, ah, oh, what an impressive effort. I don't even know what it
Yeah.
is. I don't know how to measure it.
How do you calculate? Why is it 158.3 is perfection, right? I mean, who decided on that? So yeah, but this game Sunday is, I mean, this is the game that is everything for them. I mean, this is the game that you win, and then it's see you the third weekend of January. I mean, that's what we're talking about then. I mean, that's, go do it. Go secure the number one seed, and then John Harbaugh and the coaching staff can decide who they're going to play, who they're going to sit against the Steelers. No one cares about that game then. I mean, the Steelers win, great. Who cares? Ravens, even with their backups, could still beat them. We saw that in 2019. The backups still beat the Steelers. If you don't win on Sunday, then all the good feelings that we're talking about right now with the 49ers doesn't disappear. Let's be clear about that. They lose on Sunday. That doesn't mean they can't win the Super Bowl, but it does become unsettling again. It does become, I don't like that that happened. They've got to turn around. Like I said, they've got to manage a short week. I think John Harbaugh is probably going to give these guys some physical rest. I think you'll probably see them have lighter practices this week, as they don't get home until Tuesday morning. Probably not even that. Probably closer to like morning on Tuesday. So you got to manage that. We mentioned some of the health concerns. I mean, you hope. I think the general sense, the early set indication is most of that was on the precautionary side. We'll see with McCary. We're talking about a concussion protocol issue there, but I think Hamilton's going to be okay. Kevin Zeitler, I think. You hope that was a little more precautionary because they had a three touchdown lead when he left the game. But you want to get these guys, they got to be ready for Sunday because, as we said, I mean, the 49ers game, that was the hype, the power rankings game. This is the number one seed game, so go take care of business. You're the favorite, as you should be, and you're at home. Go take care of business, and then you get a chance to exhale and kind of recalibrate for the real tournament that starts next month, which, as we said, I mean, the Ravens are the favorite now, and they've earned that spot. But just because you've earned that spot doesn't mean it's going to be handed to you.
Even though Channel 13 doesn't want to show us Joe Flacco, he's still playing and they're still winning. Is there anything you want to say about the Cleveland Browns? Because we talked about these other teams, and I walked into a bar the other day. I got to give a plug here, all right? Because I do this. Spirits West down on Wilkins Avenue, southwest side of town. I went over to Coppin for the basketball game on Wednesday. On Wednesday, and 98 Rock will confirm this. On Wednesday, Spirits West has this cold cut called The Godfather. And it's got like all these specialty meats. And I've been, you can only get it on Wednesday. Special. So on this particular Wednesday, I ordered it. And I walked into that bar at 3:30. I went by Fadley's, had to drop some stuff off. I went over to West Baltimore and I ordered my sandwich and I went in to pay for it, and I'm at the bar, and it's a long old school bar. It's the Luke, a little Baltimore history, because I know you were a history major. It's the longest block in America, the longest contiguous block in America. It's a really weird, Google it. It's on Wilkins Avenue. Pull up on the side, I go in to sort of side park. I was getting my sandwich. I was going to Coppin to see Angel Reese play. Coppin's our partner. We broadcast their games. I love Coppin. I got to wear my Eagles belt buckle, but it was like the band Eagles, but it's blue and gold, so I kind of liked it. So I saw Gary Digital Williams over there. I met the great Kyle Goon from the Baltimore Banner. I saw Ali Danois. I mean, I saw Kyle Andrews. I mean, I saw some people, and I got out and moved around a little bit, but I walk in, and there's five guys at the bar. All of them a little older than me, young people, obviously, but a little older than me. And I just walked in to pay, and I think one of them recognized me, like, and the conversation, they were kind of over affecting How about that Joe Flacco? Wouldn't that be something if that Flacco came in? So, like, all this happens. I'm in there 30 seconds. I ran out to my car because it's Christmas. And I don't know if you know, I wrote a book called Purple Rain 2 that I'm really ashamed of at this point that I'm trying to get rid of. And I have like four boxes left and I had one in the car. And I went in and I got five, because they're all big Ravens fans. I went in and they were all talking about Flacco. Wouldn't that be something? That be, well, I'm afraid of him. I don't want them. I don't want the Browns coming in. I'm thinking to myself, I can't believe I'm hearing this on a bar stool in West Baltimore. So I could tell these guys. So I gave them all Ravens books. I came in. I gave them all. I just laid them and I left. One guy chased me out on Wilkins Avenue to autograph the book. It was funny. I knew it was you, but I didn't know the books. I'm like, just read chapter 7 about Joe Flacco. And then over the weekend, a friend of mine, Gary Iwanowski, one of my pals from high school, put out on Facebook this comparison of Matt Ryan to Joe Flacco. And they came out in the draft. And I'm like, that's chapter 5. So I had to put that out for everybody too. Because, you know, I researched all of this on Flacco's heart, his character, kind of player he was, kind of man he is, kind of family man he is. It's kind of human. My all-time favorite Baltimore athlete, after doing this professionally for 39 years, but not in the last year and a half, thanks to Chad Steele. But I love Joe. I'm blown away by all of this. And I'm not blown away that he can throw it, but it really, the story to me, that if I were to fly to Cleveland and have breakfast with him Friday after they beat the Jets Thursday night and they're 7-point favorites, that if I were to sit with him and like write about this and write a story, if I were a real journalist like I used to be, and I wanted to learn about this, the story to me and Flacco, if somebody really sits there. And by the way, they're doing wacky stuff in Cleveland. They have a song that the ESPN Cleveland guys are chasing him around. They have a whole comedy thing going on. I remember going out there and hearing Strock around the clock back when Don Strock was the Browns quarterback and Bernie. I mean, Cleveland's wacky like that. I mean, and their attachment to our hero, our Super Bowl hero, and however far this goes, is it's already a success if they beat the Jets and they make the play. Like, all they have to do is make the playoffs. If they lose 24-14 to the Ravens in the playoffs, it was a great year. It's a different measurement. But not for Joe. And I think the real story for Joe is, I talked to Joe late August. It may have been the first. It may have been right around Labor Day that I talked to him, and he was ebullient about, I'm going to play again if they let me. He said, I want to play. He's like, I'm working out. I want to play. And like, I'm thinking, what does that mean at this point? It's very, very clear that the last 3-4 months, he really got himself in, and he didn't come in off the couch with mom and, you know, and just throw the ball like this. Like, and I don't know who's asking what, and I'm not following every press conference out there, but if I really sat with him and like did a piece on it, I'd really like to know, what the hell were you doing? Cause you weren't golfing, dude. And I know you got a lot of hobbies and you love your kids. And I talked to him for half an hour. I mean, we talked, and I didn't have any sense that he could be this good, or that his mind would get him into the frame of mind to be in this kind of physical condition. Cause I think that's the thing that's overlooked in all of this. His mind's great for the game and seeing Amari Cooper and having weapons and having a defense, dirt in the ball and doing smart things that I saw him do after throwing some picks the last couple of weeks, that he's not going to be able to do that against the Ravens. They come in here and play. He's not going to be able to throw 2 or 3 picks and win. That they're just not going to be able to do that. I think him taking care of the football, I'm just blown away. I'm blown away that there's another chapter for him in a way that I don't think anybody could have predicted, in whatever this chapter is for a 38-year-old guy who has come back and at least done enough here to show, you know, he ain't Case Keenum, you know?
I mean, it's a terrific story. I mean, it really is. And look, you and I talked about this when the Browns were first sniffing around with and signed him to the practice squad and whether he was going to become the backup or become the starter, whatever. And I was dismissive of it.
You said he wasn't going to get on the field, like literally, right?
No, I didn't say he wasn't going to get on. I didn't necessarily say he wasn't going to get on the field. I didn't think it was going to go well. Because, I mean, the reality was, the numbers speak for themselves. Joe has not been very good since he left the Ravens. And I think so much of that was environment and situations. Jets, I get it. Broncos weren't good. But he wasn't very good. He just wasn't. So I think what's so fascinating about this, one, you're right, the fact that he kept – and look, let's call a spade. Joe's never been a guy that was out of shape. At the same time, Joe always had the reputation of when he's in the building, when it's in the season, he's all in, right? I'd like to, however, when it's off season, and this goes back to all the conversations about getting together with receivers away from the team, all that kind of stuff. There was a thought that when Joe likes to get away, he gets away. And by the way, Lamar Jackson is similar in that way, in the terms of when it's all, the off season and all that, he likes his time to get away. And that doesn't mean they're not working hard on their own, but there
all
is a
of
little
these
bit
guys
of,
are gym rats or they wouldn't be here.
But they do it different ways, right? There, some guys are in the building every day throughout the season. Some guys, you know, Mark Andrews trains out in Arizona, you know, for example. So, but the point is Joe kept himself in great shape, as you mentioned, but I think the other really fascinating part, and I noticed because I did get the game here in Southern York County, Pennsylvania. I got the game on Sunday.
Should have come to your house.
But they talked about this. Kevin Stefanski, he is a pupil of one Gary Kubiak, who absolutely advocated for the Browns when they lost Watson, and it was clear that DTR was not the guy. It was clear PJ Walker wasn't going to be the guy. Gary Kubiak is someone who said, you know what? At least work Joe out. You know, see where he is. I mean, I don't know where he is physically. I'm sure he's talked to him. You know, always kept himself in good shape. But I think the other factor here, one, kept himself in good shape. Two, Browns have a good team. They have a good roster. I mean, we talked about that. I mean, as much as we joke about the Browns being a punchline at the end of the day and Browns going to Brown and all that stuff.
Imagine if they had Chubb in the running game the way they planned it, right?
Sure. They have a really good defense, and they have some talent. I mean, Amari Cooper, my goodness, if you watch that game Sunday, it reminds you of Anquan Boldin catching some of those, you know, some of those jump balls that Joe was throwing. I mean, Cooper's played some outstanding football here recently. But you have all that in place. If we all think back, Joe Flacco, for as much as we think of the 2012 postseason, that's the pinnacle of his career, obviously. His best regular season campaign was when? 2014, Gary Kubiak, that version of, you know, the going all the way back
Four
to
set.
Shanahan and all that. That was the – Joe played his the best regular season football of his career with Gary Kubiak as his coordinator. So is Kevin Stefanski's offense exactly the same? No, but it's very similar. And I think for where Joe is, for what Joe's always done well, and for where he is as a guy who's going to be 39 next month, and let's face it, he was never the most fleet of foot, but certainly, you know, he can move his feet. He's moved his feet well enough. You know, with the Browns.
He does not look old the way he did as a Jet, but he looks faster.
Sure.
That's why I'm saying, like, whatever he was doing in the gym, he's got $200 million, dude. He can buy a trainer. And if he's pissed off enough to do this and to come back because of the joy it brings him, and you can mm-hmm. see it, like, it's just a beautiful
right. It's
thing.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I stand in awe of it after doing this for 40 years because I saw Jim Palmer try to do it.
Yeah.
Right. I you know, I saw Cal Ripken try to play at 38. I saw, you know, and all these rich, fat old guys. You know, I saw what Ray Lewis coming back from the injury and what he tried to do at the end. And he wasn't nearly this old. Right. I mean, Ray wasn't 38. He was 36, 37. Ray started early. He was young.
37,
he was 75,
I think.
Right? So 70,
I think 37.
He was 37, right? But
yeah.
Different position and a whole different thing and a different level of speed and power and all that.
Sure.
But Joe could always throw it. Joe could always think it, right? Like, but whatever he did for his body, his arm, his legs, and I guess whatever piece that leads him to get back and to be in this position to win games, this has been a really crazy thing to see. Like, I mean,
it
if Kurt Warner's second act after he went to the Giants and was benched and then goes to the Super Bowl with the Cardinals to win a Super Bowl, Kurt Warner was yesterday's, he was given up on in the way that Flacco, and you know, most people didn't love Flacco to begin with. All, you know, I still remember that iced tea after he won the Super Bowl. And he said to me, we won a lot of games around here. Like, this isn't something new, you know, or that he thought it was a big shock that he could win the Super Bowl after throwing the pass the year before. In the same way that if I flew out there on Friday and had breakfast with him, and I thought of doing that actually, because I do feel like a story. This is an incredible Baltimore story in a way that only I can tell it, because I'm the only one that's been there from the beginning chronicling all of it. Cleveland Radio called me last week. So they called Billick, and Billick told them that he thought that Flacco could win the Super Bowl in Cleveland, that they had the tools there. Billick said that on the air. And I'm like, really? I'm not going to patronize in that way. I'm just saying what I've seen of Joe for the last 3 or 4 weeks, they can beat the Ravens here in the first playoff game if they get here, because they've already beaten the Ravens once, and because Joe, it wouldn't be too big for Joe. It wouldn't, it would probably fire Joe the hell up in a way that whatever we saw in that Jets game last year, when he's running around with those guys, he looks like a different human being a year later. And it looks like whatever that seed is that makes him a Super Bowl champion, that makes him not a Hall of Famer, but a Hall of Battler, and a guy that they wanted to draft instead of Matt Ryan all those years ago. And it's a very, very good story. It's good, been good for my holiday soul, especially being deposed and watching it all on the outside just happen on my TV. Watching old friends of ours get together on the field with him, interviewing him after another win on a pathway to being a playoff team, is just, I don't think anybody had that in the script. His family must be thrilled.
I mean, it's wild. And like I said, I everything you mentioned, I agree with, but I also think their offense is a it Stefanski's offense is a really good fit for what Joe does well. And does a nice job of masking some of the things he doesn't do as well. And I think that's, it goes back to what we said in 2014. And look, it's no, go back and look at it statistically. Joe's downfall in Baltimore as being a guy that, had won a Super Bowl and all that, regardless of how, where you ranked him in the regular season and all that. When Gary Kubiak left, that was the beginning of the end for Flacco in Baltimore. And look, that, he didn't play well. They made some lousy roster decisions. Mark Trestman was an awful hire. I mean, like, things happen. Things happen. It's tough to do this for a long time, and do it
The
successfully.
only one that survives at all is Harbaugh.
But
Really?
right, sure. But I think, what's where I view the Browns right now, and look, this is a very simplistic way of viewing things, because they're not all that terribly similar stylistically speaking, because their running game hasn't, to your point, if they had Nick Chubb right now, it'd be pretty wild to think what the Browns could potentially be. But for me at this point, they kind of feel like what the Titans were in that 2019 postseason. And I'm not saying the Titans coming into Baltimore and beating the Ravens directly, but just like that team that you would say right now, if the Browns, depending on the draw, and put the Ravens Browns possibility, put that aside, right? As appealing as that would be for guys like you and me talking about this as, media and stories and narratives and all that. But just in terms of their draw and whatever else happens, the Browns are that team that right now, if the ball bounces their way, I don't see them getting to a Super Bowl by any stretch of the imagination, but I could see them in the AFC Championship depending on how the draw would fall. And, ball
They're not
bounces your
sneaking
way.
around. They're 10-5.
I know, but my
And they
point
did
is,
it with crappy quarterback play, primarily the first 12 weeks. They've got the best quarterback play out of Joe Flacco in the last 3 weeks that the franchise has had since Derek Anderson, maybe? Literally, Baker Mayfield for 5 years.
Baker Mayfield had a couple good seasons there. I mean,
He had more commercials than he had good seasons, but
by the
yeah.
way, speaking of resurgence, Baker Mayfield's playing some great football at Tampa Bay, not to get off topic here, because, obviously there's local interest with Joe, but I mean, it's a really good story. I mean, my goodness. I understand Ravens fans' angst if you're talking about the narrative of Flacco and the Browns coming into Baltimore divisional round weekend. I mean, look,
Well, if
all
the
these teams.
Browns have to play the Colts in the first round of the playoffs, right? And we're conceding the Browns are going to be in the playoffs. So
Oh, yeah.
they're going to be in the playoffs. So they're going to play a
Sure. One
game,
way or the other,
and
yeah.
they're going to play a game on the road, we think, because we don't think they're going to catch us. And that'd be pretty hard scrabble 2 weeks from now if the Ravens have lost to the Dolphins and the Steelers and the Browns win the division. But it's still sitting there, and it's still not, I mean, the Browns do their part, win on Thursday night, and they're 7-point favorites. At least they're halfway there to doing their part. And then counting on the Dolphins, right? So it would make for an interesting week next week if that's all these games stacking up at the same time, the way they play those games in week 18 now. But the Browns are going to be in the playoffs, and who are they going to play? Like, that they would go to Miami and Joe Flacco could play well there, or that their defense could take the ball away, and that's possible. Schwartz could, get that going in Miami, or they're going to go to Jacksonville or Indianapolis. Maybe they go to Kansas City, and that probably wouldn't be a great spot for them. You know what I mean? That probably wouldn't go well. I mean, I don't know, but it went okay for the Raiders the other day. But that would be I think Cleveland going to Kansas City is bad news for them, but I think Buffalo's going to be on the road, right? So Buffalo goes to Kansas City, Cleveland goes to wherever else they go. I don't know, man. I think Cleveland will be alive in the second week if they get the right draw.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. I mean, again, all these teams, and all these teams except maybe one or two, who I'm this AFC South picture is
PU.
ugly at this point. I mean, if CJ Stroud can get back for the Texans, but the problem is you kind of look at their tiebreakers and some of that, is the math going to work out? But Ravens, Kansas City, Buffalo at this point, Cleveland, Miami. I mean, the Ravens are the head of the class, and they've earned that spot as it pertains to being post-Christmas, for whatever that's worth. That's not a guarantee to get to the Super Bowl, but you still take it over the alternative. But yeah, it's you're gonna have to go play good football. You're gonna have to play, limit mistakes, and play well on both sides of the ball. Good special teams, all the things you need to do. But yeah, you look at this Browns team, it's I'm not at all. If you're telling me the Browns are coming into Baltimore and playing the Ravens in the divisional round, I'm gonna be surprised by that whatsoever. I just said, depending on the draw, and again, taking out the Ravens Browns thing, if you tell me right now the Browns get a draw and some injury luck on the other, whoever they're playing, whatever, and you tell me that they can't get to the AFC Championship, it's like I said, it's like the Titans in 2019. No one really thought they were a serious Super Bowl contender, but they played Kansas City in the AFC Championship, right? I
Jaguars have
mean,
done it twice in recent times with Blake Bortles and,
yeah.
like crazy stuff. All right, Luke, I'll break it off for you because I know you're really heavily monitoring this Dylan Cease thing with the Orioles, and I know we got things going on here. Enjoy your cookies. I hope you had a beautiful holiday. It was good to see your family together and enjoying your role as Deacon Jones, not the sack master, but the toast master. And we do appreciate the holidays and getting people together. Got to see family, got to see friends. It was a beautiful thing. We're taking a little exhale here this week, but you are taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on the road. We'll be at Fadley's on Wednesday morning. It's our final chance inside the Old Market. We are planning the biggest promotion we've ever done for Radio Row coming up in 6 weeks, and I'm even heartened that the Ravens might be there, and I might be able to give away purple scratch-offs like the O Snaps. They do smell like gingerbread, which I've had enough cookies, man. I'm getting fat just smelling these tickets. Our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, reminding you buy two, you get two free. 0% financing for 5 years. And Jiffy Lube MultiCare. I've been talking a lot about it. My little light went on when I was over at Curio Wellness at Foreign Daughter. It was a Jiffy Lube right there. And I was detained, and I didn't get my oil changed. And I got to get my oil changed. I say it the right way. My oil. I got to get my oil changed at the Jiffy Lube MultiCare. So we'll be doing that. Big thanks to Curio and Foreign Daughter for sponsoring our 25th anniversary. We talked a lot about wellness and cannabis and rock and roll. And we had Michael Bronfein out telling this incredible story. One of the best pieces I did all year was with Michael Bronfein and Gina Schock. It will be airing this week. You can find all that at Baltimore Positive. We're going to be doing a lot of sort of best of this week, in addition to getting ready for Miami. I'm going to have a couple of Miami pieces. Luke and I are going to talk some football here. But it is a holiday week. A lot of folks going at half speed. Remind everybody, take care of your family. Enjoy New Year's Eve responsibly. Bet on the games responsibly if you're betting on the games as well. We're getting ready for a Festivus for the rest of us. It's a fun time around here for baseball thoughts for next year, as well as football thoughts in the near short term. And a big, big game against the Miami Dolphins this week. So lots on our minds here, and we are releasing our 25 stories of glory brought to you by Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter. Those will be coming out on a semi-daily basis. Every other day, something's going to be coming out as we lead and count down of all the things that our audience have done. Charity, road trips, events, places we've gone, people we've seen. I got to find my old Wild Bill Hagee pictures, and Luke, I put a picture up. I had one or two of those pictures. I had to go archival on Christmas Eve to like go through stuff, and I found pictures that were lost. So I am sharing them with anybody out there. And some of it's probably educational for you too, because a lot of you've been here, it feels like forever, like 15, 16 years. But there was like another 15 years before that of all these pictures and stories and people doing cool stuff. So it's been very, very heartening. And some people have been sending me some stuff. Ness at BaltimorePositive.com. You find me on IM, find me on social media anywhere, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, all the places that Baltimore Luke is. I am as well through the holidays. I know it's a good time to get together and clean out the archives. And we're doing that on our 25th anniversary And it's all coming together for the biggest promotion ever. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Happy New Year, everyone. Celebrating Festivus. Find us at BaltimorePositive.com.